That is one of the blessings we have of having so many song leaders in this congregation. I know the song. I haven't heard it led in quite a while. So it's always good to sing songs that you know, but just no one has led for a while. So really appreciate Kyle's effort this evening. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that's where we're going to begin here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking mostly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. Read this on my computer the other day. It's from the Detroit Free Press. Detroit Free Press. A woman is filing a lawsuit against the bank that refused to take her $20,000 check. And this is, I'm just going to read straight from the type. Her elation quickly soured when she visited a bank in Livonia, Michigan, to open up a savings account for her winnings. The retired Detroit public school worker claims employees at the bank refused to cash her check, calling it fraudulent, and at one point didn't want to give it back to her. Lizzie Pugh, 71, a 71-year-old church deacon, told reporters that she scored the fat prize during an April church outing at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. And there were problems at Corinth, too. Stan Cox recently came up here and really appreciate his efforts preaching from the book of 1 Corinthians. And he talked about chapter 5, and he gave an excellent lesson on a congregation that was tolerating sin. And Corinth, it was an exciting place. It was a place that was really primed for a lot of growth, and yet it had so many problems that the Apostle Paul addressed in his letter to them. And tonight, I would like to look at a few more of these and look at this from a congregational standpoint and the things that we, certainly as individuals, but we as a congregation can learn from what happened and what was happening in Corinth at the time. The church at Corinth had a lot of things going for it. It should have been growing by leaps and bounds. It was certainly in a good location, in a well-traveled location. It was a key city. There are no other congregations there. And it was also, the church was established by an apostle, so it certainly had a lot of credibility, and it certainly should have had a lot of sound teaching. And as we read also, it was filled with a lot of talented people who had a lot of spiritual gifts. And even though it had these advantages, there were a lot of things that were holding this congregation back. And not only this, but as we're going to read in chapters 2 through 6, we notice that Paul lists quite a few things that they were doing that were actually hurting the growth of the church. And so let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And we're going to talk about second-guessing God. All my scripture readings are going to be from the English Standard Version, so ESV. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, 13, and 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly. The first and deadly attack that Satan tries and continues to try today is to make believers doubt, not the power or the person of God, but doubt that his word is his word, and it carries his authority. And we see other examples in the Old Testament, Eve, Genesis chapter 3, where she's deceived. King Saul, I was reading 1 Samuel chapter 13, and how he was at Gilgal and couldn't wait for Samuel to offer a sacrifice. So he went ahead and offered a sacrifice before battle. And we even see doubt trying to be placed in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 with our Lord and Savior himself, where he's tempted with the word. And so oftentimes they were tempted, just disregard the word. And the basis for our growth as personally and the growth as our church is directly related to not only our acceptance, but also our obedience to God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 20, it says, teach them to obey some, no, teach them to obey all that I have commanded. Second guessing God, it limits the growth there in Corinth. Immaturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul talked about immaturity. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human ways? The Church of Corinth was established by the Apostle Paul. They had a good start, but they refused to move on from that starting point. And immaturity is not just being young or being new in Christ. It's a refusal to continue to grow in your faith. And some people have been in the church for a long period of time, but are they any different? Do they do any more? Do they give any more than when they first joined the church? And a church that's not growing, an individual that's not growing, is not just standing still. We're not marching time. We're actually drying up. We're actually dying day by day. We're actually just being blown away. And so that was a problem in the church there at Corinth. It was immaturity. Another problem in the church of Corinth was just a lack of teamwork. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 9. Teamwork. Lack of teamwork. 4 through 9. For one says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not being merely humans? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, But only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so here, Paul describes the ideal teamwork that goes on for the kingdom to grow. Everyone has a job. Everyone does a job. And we rely on each other to do the job and gives God the glory for the final growth and results. And in Corinth, they're jockeying for position. They're wanting the glory. They're wanting the power. So many individuals are wanting the control. And the thing is that you can accomplish anything if you don't care who gets the credit. Imagine what can be accomplished if we're all concerned with only that God gets the credit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Here we're talking about poor teaching. So in verse 10 it says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it. So in this scripture, Paul warns that poor teaching is like, it's like poor workmanship in a building. Eventually the lack of quality is going to show. Hosea, in chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Good Bible teaching will build the church, and poor teaching, and that could be, you know, the children's Bible class, that can be teaching in the auditorium, that can be the teaching at home. Poor teaching will destroy it. And so, you know, teaching is an important responsibility, and we need to understand that, you know, every class, every group, I think about the ladies' Bible study, every home, it's very important to overall the building of a congregation. Poor teaching. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Here we're talking about a lack of temple maintenance. And Steve touched a little bit on this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So I'm not talking about the maintenance here at 6417 Landview Drive. That's not the temple that we're talking about. These people in Corinth, it was the Wild West. It was Las Vegas. It was a town that was very metropolitan. And these people had lived hard. They had abused their bodies. And I'll explain this here in just a minute. They abused their bodies with what they consumed, the food, the drink, as well as with their sexual desires. And part of the reason for this, it's no excuse, it's just more of an explanation, is that the Greek heritage, they had a Greek heritage, and the Greek heritage taught them that what you did to your body really had no effect on your soul. It's called dualism. It's just there's two separate entities that you're made out of. But the Apostle Paul corrects this notion by pointing out that the proper use of the body is to provide a dwelling place not only for the soul, but also for the things that we learn from the Spirit of God. You can't grow as a Christian, you can't grow as a church if you're constantly abusing, you're constantly insulting what God has given you, you're constantly treating the temple in a poor way. And let me just give you a simple example. I try to make it a point on Saturday night to get a good night's sleep so that I'm ready for Sunday morning. Just one example. Maintain the temple, and they weren't maintaining the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. There were some poor role models in the church. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. So, as I've already stated before, I mean, the Corinthian leaders were involved in a battle. They were involved in a battle for power. They were involved in a battle for prestige. And the disciples there at Corinth just joined right in that fray. And in the absence of good leadership models, Paul, the Apostle Paul, offers himself as a pattern of godliness, as a pattern of service, as a pattern of perseverance. A group rarely rises above its leadership, and this can be true as well in the church. And Jesus is our Lord. He is our ultimate leader. But human beings can also learn how to become, how to conduct themselves like the Lord from watching the leaders around us. The church can grow in proportion to its leadership. And certainly elders, deacons, teachers, preachers. But if the leaders don't grow, then neither does the church. And one thing that kills church growth is no growth in leadership. And I'm standing up here and I'm preaching this evening, and I'm not claiming to be a leader, but Steve said this morning, and I thought it was real interesting. As you stand in the pulpit, you're preaching God's word, and so you are certainly taking a leadership role. And so when the time for judgment arrives, a leader will be held more accountable, and he used the word double, for what is being taught and for what is being learned. So, role models, poor role models was a problem in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Immorality. It's actually reported there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And there's a lot of sins that we struggle with each and every day. And the idea of and sexual sin is certainly very, very devastating. It hurts our own souls because of the great shame, the great guilt. It hurts families because it destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. And it hurts the church because the effects of sexual sin can often cause people to abandon Christ. Both the guilty and those who are victims. And Stan talked about the struggles in his family, and many of us have struggles in our own families. So, you know, before anyone says, you know, yes to sexual temptation, yes to, you know, sexual situations, you know, ask yourself if the few minutes of pleasure are worth all the broken lives, the tears, and possibly is it worth your own soul? Immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Ignorance. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And some people know the word and they know the love of God, but they're ignorant of the judgment that God promises, he promises to those who disobey him. And sometimes in the church, I say we can be careless with our faith, with our service, with our attendance, with our giving, because we ignore the fact that God is going to reject the lukewarm. Excellent study, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. Because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you from my mouth. Lukewarm Christians will be as violently rejected as the idolaters, the adulterers, the thieves, the greedy, the ones mentioned in the verses above. And fear is not the only motivation to serve God, but it is a valid one. And a church that ignores the fact that it will be judged becomes lazy, becomes careless, and stands in judgment. So, ignorance. Let's not be lukewarm. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Carl and I had a brief discussion this morning about this. Ungratefulness. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul also delivers the same message in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So the primary sin here is that they didn't glorify God, and they didn't thank God for what they had. These Corinthians were so busy taking credit that they were missing the point of their purpose for gathering together. And the purpose for gathering together was to glorify God, not each other. And a growing church is one where worship, both public, private, is certainly filled with a sense of appreciation and joy for all the things on loan to us physically and the things that were promised eternally, spiritually. I suppose that these chapters, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, has some interest, certainly if we're looking at why the Corinthian church wasn't growing and why the Corinthian church was having so many problems. That's important. But it takes on a much greater importance if we look inward and if we apply it to ourselves. And so, you know, this evening we need to ask ourselves if some of the things that Paul spoke of to the Corinthians could be redirected towards ourselves, could be redirected towards our congregation, instead of just thinking about the Corinthian church. Thank you so much for your kind attention this evening. I want to just finish up with a brief thing about leadership. So I'm at home and I get a phone call and Steve goes, "Hey Joe, I may have to go out of town after services Sunday morning. Would you be able to maybe preach Sunday night?" And I'm like, sure, I'd be happy to. He says, "Okay, let me call the elders first and make sure that it's okay." So thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Brett, for just allowing me to, you know, come up here this evening and speak before the congregation and hopefully deliver a scriptural message. Perhaps there's someone here this evening who's seen error in their lives, or maybe there's someone here who would like to be a child of God through the waters of baptism. Whatever your needs, we offer you an opportunity. Please come forward as together we stand and sing.